So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of God, and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, we bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I give you thanks and I give you praise for all that you have done and all that you're going to do, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Jesus is here. Now, everybody begins to look at, or maybe not everybody, but many people begin to look at Jesus during these times of year because of the holidays and because that Jesus really is the reason for the season. And I know that some people get upset. Well, you know, Jesus really wasn't born on the 25th of December. And people get messed up in some of these things. But listen, it's the day in which we celebrate it. My wife has birthday month. I've got a daughter that's upset because I don't remember exactly the time when she was born. I said, you were born on that day is all I remember. You better be glad I remember that. How many's ever raised some children through the teenage years? They ought to be thankful that you better be thankful that you're still alive. Amen. But on this occasion, Jesus is coming. We understand that this is a story of a birth that was like no other. He prophesied, or the word prophesied, that he's coming for years and years throughout the whole Old Testament that he's coming. But sometimes you get tired of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And if you're not careful, you'll look at the one promise that has not been fulfilled yet and forget about all the other promises that has been fulfilled. So throughout the Old Testament, the word of God declared that Jesus is coming. But here, let me give you this point here. That the likelihood of Jesus or anyone fulfilling the prophecies as the Messiah seemed to be a mathematical impossibility. Because not only was he prophesied, but then prophecies had to be fulfilled in order for him to come to fruition and for it to come to pass the way that the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit, that God said it was going to come to pass. You see, there have been a lot of self-proclaimed seers in our day. There's been a lot of people who said that they could see into the future. A lot of people who prophesied. One of these people was named Jean Dixon. She was considered for years one of the most foremost psychics of the day. In the 50s, now I want you to catch it. In the 50s, her prophecies came to pass 1 out of 52. Really? 1 out of 52, not bad, not bad. In 1960, she prophesied all the major candidates and the winners of the presidential election. Before it ever happened, she prophesied it. She put it down on paper. Here's what it's going to be. I want you to know, because of history, she missed all of the candidates, all of the parties and all of the winners in all the elections. She's batting 1,000. Not even one prediction came true. In 1978, the National Enquirer tabloid listed 60 prophecies from the 10 greatest psychics at the time. Would you like to know how many of them came true? I'm glad you asked. Not a one. Not a one came true. But now, if you consider the writings of Buddha, Confucius, you will not find one single example of predicted prophecy. Matter of fact, if you go to Joseph Smith of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the Latter-day Saints, I had a couple of his apostles visit me last week sometime. They decided to come by and talk the Bible with me. That was fun. Because I don't ever tell them I'm a preacher. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Do you believe this? Yes, I do. But don't you believe? No. Because here's what the Bible says. And so, anyway, it was fun. But out of Joseph Smith, he made only 60 predictions. And two of those 60 came true. So, you know, not too bad. Not too bad. However, Daniel prophesied the exact year that Christ would be born. Micah prophesied the exact town where he would be born. Isaiah prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. And Hosea prophesied that his family would have to flee to Egypt. Now, he had to be born from the house of David. He had to be born from the tribe of Judah. And Matthew 1 gives us an entire lineage of the proving of Jesus' prophecies and what it came to pass. However, the prophecies of the scripture are, on the other hand, very specific. They're very detailed. And such detail sets them apart from any other literary writings in the world. And in order to understand it and understand these prophecies and the probability of them coming to pass, then we need to understand the law of probability. Are you ready? And the law of probability that any of the prophecies could in the Bible could ever come true, probability means the likelihood of an event occurring. What is the likelihood? Well, I went a little bit further in the study. Expressed mathematically, possibility equals the numbers of ways a specific event can occur divided by the total number of all possible event occurrences. Yeah. If you and let me break it down. If you only had one prophecy, the odds of that prophecy coming to true would be 2 to 1. Because it would either come to pass or not. So the odds are 2 to 1. The Word of God has 2,048 predictable and detailed prophecies recorded. The law of probability and Bible prophecy, let me tell you this. The odds of 11 of those prophecies being fulfilled, are you ready? Just 11 out of the Bible, is 33,554,532 to 1. Come on, somebody. Now, you may say, Pastor, how did you come up with that? Somebody much smarter than me did. I found the statistics. Just using what I got at my disposal. Ain't that right, Josh? Come on, somebody. The odds of 30 of them coming to pass is 73,741,021 to 1. Isaiah alone has 55 prophecies. And the odds of these 55 prophecies coming true are 36 quadrillion, 26 trillion, 797 billion, 18,963,968 to one. That's prophecy right there, baby. All right, but let's go a bit further. Now, I don't have this one wrote out, I don't think. But if you take the 332 prophecies of the major prophets of the Old Testament and the odds of those that are coming true, do I have the next one? What's my next one? Mike? Oh, I don't have it. I thought I put it on there. Let me just say it's this. I don't even know. It's 26 numbers to one. Of the 2,048 prophetic prophecies, if you were to take those, out of the 240, I gotta get it right. Out of the 2,048 specific prophecies, over 2,000 of them have come to pass so far. And that is the number of the odds of that happening has over 600 numbers in the equation to one, but yet it's happened. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to get you to understand that this book is not just a book of chance. It's not just a book of happenstance. It's not just a good book. No, it is prophetic, and it has come to pass. And if this much has already come to pass, I still believe that Jesus coming back again is going to come to pass also. I still believe that he predicted that he would come, so therefore he shall come. He said that he would be with us, so therefore I believe that he is here. Not only was his coming predicted, but then he said, I will be with you, and I believe that is true. In the book of Luke chapter 2, we understand verse 8, the Bible says, and now there were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now I want you to get the angel's perspective. I want you to get the angel's perspective. That God comes to Gabriel and says, hey Gabe, I have an assignment for you. I've got a job for you to do. And Gabriel says, okay, I can do that, God. I understand what you want me to say. I know you want me to, I know what you want me to say. You want me to say, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's the announcement the world has been waiting for. They've been looking for the Messiah. They've been looking for the Christ, but yet it has not been accomplished yet. Maybe they thought this might be it, that might be it, but it has not come to pass. And I can just see old Gabriel asking, Lord, it's been prophesied by the prophets, and I understand what you want me to say, but what I don't get is why here? Why do I need to tell the shepherds keeping watch over their flock? Why do I need to tell the shepherds who are in the valley? I understand what you want me to say. I'm honored that I get to be the one to announce the king's arrival. But why this audience? And why this valley? Why would you just tell a bunch of shepherds? Why not announce it to the kingdoms where everybody knows? Why not announce it there? Why announce it to a few shepherds in a valley tending sheep? And why at night? Are you sure this is the right place? Are you sure this is the right crowd that you want me to announce that the King of all kings has arrived? Wouldn't you think, God, that I should tell the king? Wouldn't you think that I should show up in the city and tell them? Why here? Why? Because he is the only hope for the world. Why? Because if you've ever had to live in a valley, my God, somebody hear me. If you've ever had to walk through a valley, if you ever had to live with the ups and the downs of a valley, if you've ever had to keep watch at night, how many know what I'm talking about? That you couldn't sleep and sleep was evading you and you don't know what to do and you're just up at night and you're up and down and you're in and out. If you've ever had to live in the dark, stumbling around, not knowing which way is what. If you've ever had to live on the outside and on the outskirts and not knowing and not having peace and not having what God says you can have, then you understand. Living in the dark of hopelessness, living in on the outskirts, pushed aside, then you understand why God had to tell the shepherds. Because see, church, in a valley, have you ever yelled out in a valley? Some of you lived in those hollers. You yell in the valley, it echoes. It echoes. What happens? You get echoes of your yell. That the voice we hear, it's the voice we hear when we get hurt. When you're in the valley, you yell that you're hurt, and it just echoes in it, and it keeps replaying it in your mind. But there was a different sound coming from this valley. There was a different sound that the angel of God stepped into that valley and said, "Peace be unto you, for to you this day a child is born, and he shall be called the Christ." Hallelujah. In your valley today, my God, in your valley today, right where you are today, on the outskirts, in the dark, stumbling around, not knowing which way is up or down, I want you to hear the voice of this preacher. I want you to hear the voice of the Lord saying to you that unto you a Christ is born, and not only did he come, but he is here right now for you. It just plays over in your mind. Let that play. Let that valley, let it echo. Let it, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Savior is here. You know, we get so caught up trying to make sure we got enough toys and enough gifts and who else we got to buy for. And we try not to leave anybody out and not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But I've come by to tell you, no matter where you're at today, that the Savior is here. No matter where you're at today, if you're in the dark, the Savior is here. If you're hurting, the Savior is here. If you don't know which way to go, the Savior is here. He is here. He is here. He is here. And every time that hurt begins to roll through your spirit, begin to say the Savior is here. Jesus is here. I know my Redeemer liveth. And his name shall be called Jesus. Why in the world, and why is the world so offended by Jesus? Why? His name was taken out of schools. His name was not allowed at Yankee Stadium after 9/11. His name is offensive to governments. His name is feared by the world leaders. Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? Why not Gandhi? Jesus, the mere mention of his name, I'll tell you why. Because the mention of his name can still calm the storm, can still heal the broken, and can still raise the dead. It can still, at the sound of that name, sin-hardened men melt at the sound of that name. Demoniacs are set free by the sound of that name. That's why the people are upset about it. At the name of Jesus, the lights of hope are put into the eyes of the dim. Listen to me, church. You understand that at the sound of that name, he can bring hope to a hopeless situation. At the sound of that name, hatred and bitterness can turn to love and forgiveness. Because of that name, a mother can softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever, and the child is quieted because of the fevered brow, because of what Jesus did at Calvary. At the sound of that name, I've seen dying saints breathe their last breath saying, "He is here." Woo! I've seen saints of God who have gone on And I'm trying to comfort them, and they're comforting me. It's okay, Pastor, because he is here. It's okay, he is here. And if he's there for them, he's also here for you. He is in this room. Who? They say, Jesus, he is here. Emperors have tried to destroy his name, but have failed. Tyrants have tried to wash their name from the face of the earth, and the very blood of those who claimed it, yet it still stands. The more they try to denounce it, the more they try to erase it, the more that people stand up and say, Jesus, thou son of David. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound will proclaim him Lord of all. Jesus is here. Woo. But that it doesn't end there. Not only is Jesus coming, not only is Jesus here, but thank God he's coming again. He's coming again. Well, Pastor, I've heard it all my life. Listen, I am 50 something years old. And I can promise you that I was raised in church. I'm a drug addict. I was drugged at this church and drugged at that church and drugged at this. But bless God, I know I've been raised in church, and I've heard them say that Jesus is coming. I've heard it all my life. Can I tell you that if you look around and look at the signs, it's about to wind up here, folks. Jesus is coming. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Listen, if we're not living in the last days, we're living in your last days anyway. Jesus is coming. An older contemporary chorus we used to sing says, he came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave. Lord, I lift your name on high. Acts chapter 1 verse 11, and the angel declared, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. That's a prophecy. 2,000 of them have already come to pass. That's a prophecy. And I believe it's going to come to pass. Well, many would ask, well, who is this Jesus? Well, if you ask him, he might say something along these lines, and I wrote it down for you. On his mother's side, he's a lowly Nazarene. But on his father's side, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his mother's side, he's a carpenter. But on his father's side, he's master architect of the universe. On his father's side, he's the chief cornerstone. When the morning star sings, it's because of Jesus. He's the twinkle in the star. He's the fire in the sun. He's the shine in the moon. He's the rain in the clouds, the red on the rose, the leaf in the tree, the banana in the peel, and the pea in the pod. And bless God, the corn that's on the cob. Here's who he is. On his mother's side, he's called a prophet. But on his father's side, he's called the Word made flesh. On his mother's side, he's a man of sorrow. But on his father's side, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the day star, the day spring. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the plant of renown. He's the heaven's finest treasure. On his mother's side, he's a dying Savior. But on his father's side, he's the risen Lord, rising with healing in his wings, captain of the armies of the host of God. On his mother's side, he's teacher. But on his father's side, he's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is. See, the first time he came as a baby in a manger. But the next time he comes, he's coming on a white horse. The first time he came as a pauper. But the next time he comes as the owner of the universe. The first time he came as the carpenter's son. But the next time he comes as the son of God, and with healing in his wings, rising up. That's who he is. The first time he came as deity clothed in flesh. But the next time he comes with deity clothed in glory. The first time he came for the purpose of redeeming mankind. But the next time he comes as the judge of the world to reclaim it to mankind. The first time he came as a Jewish boy. But the next time he comes as the head of every race. Ah, every tongue and every tribe. The first time he came, he only lived 33 and a half years. But the next time he comes, he's here to stay, baby. The first time he came, he was born in Bethlehem. And the next time he comes, he's coming to Bethlehem. But he's not coming as a babe. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, Shandanabaho. The first time he came, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He set the captive free. But the next time he comes, he will do away with sickness, do away with disease, do away with poverty. It will be finished and it will be over. The first time he came, a star marked the place of his birth. But the next time he comes, he will be the bright and the morning star. Ah. The first time he came, three wise men followed the star to find him. But the next time he comes, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. The first time he came, shepherds came to visit him. But the next time he comes as the chief shepherd. The first time he came, they presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But this next time he comes, he will present gifts to men and reward them for their labor. Whew. They brought gifts to him. This next time he will reward us for the labor. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Perhaps you know he came and was born in a manger. But have you heard that he's coming again? He came as a babe in the manger the first time. But the second time, he's coming back as the Lion of tribe of Judah. Ah, he's coming back, church. And if prophecy is fulfilled, if the law of probability is in place, there's a few more prophecies that need to take place for it to happen. But I'm looking for it. 'Twas the night before Jesus came. 'Twas the night before Jesus came and all through the house. Not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come in there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And mom in her rocker and baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter that I sprang to my feet to see what's the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment it must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name, but when he said it's not there, my head hung in shame. The people whose name had been written with love he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose with a sound while all the rest was left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, this meaning is clear. the coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life. When comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true at all. Jesus is here. Right here, waiting on you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to accept him and have him come into your life. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if that's you, just lift up your hand and say, "It's me, preacher. I need Jesus." Anybody in this house, lift up your hand. You can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know him. I know what it is to have a relationship with him, but I'm just not where I need to be, and I want to make sure. I want to make it right." Just come on, lift your hand right now. I see that one. I see that one. I see that one. That one. That one. That one. Thank you. I see that one. Would you just lift up your head under heaven now? Everybody in this place, lift up your head there. And I want to pray for those that raised your hand. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I accept forgiveness from you. I am a sinner, but your blood makes me a saint. So apply it to my life in the name of Jesus. From this day forward, I dedicate myself to you and your concepts and your precepts. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet in this place today. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just take a moment. I want Josh to sing this song. And let's take a moment and worship him.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.